Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all you do. I lift Joe up to you. He's not feeling well tonight. And there's a few others, Lord, that this bug that's going around. I just lift them up to you, and I pray your will is done there. Lord, I thank you that we can come here and worship you corporately tonight, and that we can talk about you, Lord, and we can lift you up, and we can hear from you. Lord, we just have such a privilege to be able to do this in public. So I thank you, Lord, for tonight, and I just pray that your will would be done, and guide me as you speak to me as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, Pastor Joe's not feeling well, so he got a hold of me yesterday afternoon and said I should get something ready. So I did, and I get up at 4:30 to finish it, so I'm going to try not to put myself to sleep. But anyhow, it's always I always like to teach. So other than that, just be praying for, you know, we got holidays coming up. With all the stuff that's going on, there's other sicknesses going around. We've had I call it the creeping crud that goes through the school, you know, that kids get out for a couple of days and come back, and it's going through, and then the kids come back. It's been a couple of days. We had a teacher that was out the other day for a day. It's this nausea thing. So if you continue to pray for our school, pray for our youth. You know, there's a lot going on for sanity for some people. Just pray that God's will's done in our country, because I don't know if you guys noticed, but something's not right. So anyhow, let's get into 1 Timothy chapter 4 is where I am, and we'll look at that. I always like reading these books, the T books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. So last chapter was a guide to leadership of the church, if you remember that. This chapter, the heading in my Bible says the walk of the good minister of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I always think that's all of us, because we all should be ministering. But it's also entitled The Great Apostasy. So as we begin, we can see how the church should be the pillar of truth, but false teaching creeps in, and it'll do a lot of damage. We know that whatever false teaching comes into the church is not of God, it's Satan. He always wants to come in and destroy everything that's happening. It's something that we talk about a lot, because I had a student today that came in and he said, "Man, you got to look up this guy, man, he's awesome." And I looked it up and I'm like, wow, he's just got a show going. Like, it's very flamboyant, and he's just talking about all these visions and stuff and his prophecies. And I said, well, maybe we should see if they come true, and if they don't, we should stone them. That's what they did in the Old Testament. And the kids looked at me, and I'm like, there'd be less of it. So I don't, you know, when someone, the kids see something, I always look at it, well, watch this video. Well, no, who is he? So I looked it up, and the first thing he said was he was a Messianic Jew. And I says, oh, he's a Messianic Jew. And the kid that told me about him said, is that good? And I'm like, well, yeah. I said, so now I already know more about him than you do. Like, well, you want me to watch this video? And I didn't, because it was kind of out there. So we have to be careful. And, you know, we're in a blessed time where we can get all the information that we need, and we can get a whole lot that we don't need. There's a whole lot of false teaching. So that's what this is about. You know, if I went from here to my house in White Signal, if I could fly, and I was a degree off of the compass, I'd come close. But if I went from here to Maine, a degree off from a compass, I'd probably land up in Canada. So we have to be right on. Our course has to be right on, true to God's word. We can't be varying off of it very much at all, because the farther we go, the bigger the gap becomes. So I think it's really important, and especially the age we're living in, where people can look up so much stuff. My biggest fear when people give their life to the Lord is they look on the internet for more stuff. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Come to church, because you don't even know what you're looking for. So, you know, you can look up. And on the other hand, you can look up any pastor, the well-known pastor. Like I did this one time to prove a point. I put, is Chuck Smith a heretic? And I found a video that said he was. Like, really, Chuck? Like, I mean, so it's dumb. So you have to be careful about that. So I don't look up those exact words. But anyhow, I look up what they stood for and all that. So when we need to be Berean, we need to look up things. We need to look up scripture, see if it lines up with what people are saying. And this is an exercise that we're doing in the high school now, as I'm having these kids do the little mini sermons. And the first round, it was like mostly opinion. And I'm like, yeah, that's not that. You can't do that. So we can have our opinion, but where is that with Scripture? What is our doctrine? So anyhow, we'll start off with the first five verses here in chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God, the word of God and prayer. So I actually like the King James version on that. I mean, similar, but it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there'll be some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So I can't speak. So seducing spirits, and I always think of seduction as a slow, you know, if someone is seducing you for one reason or another, it's a slow, unforeseen thing that you slowly fall into. People play on your weakness. You know, some of us know our weaknesses. Some of us think we know our weaknesses. And I'm sure all of us don't know all of our weaknesses. You know, there's certain things in my life that, because of my past, I won't go and do because I know that's a weakness for me. So, you know, we have to do our part in not being have the seducing spirits. And that was interesting because I was, well, from teaching in Bible, I'm all over the place all the time. And so it was actually in Daniel, in Abomination of Desolation, in that section 11, 35 to 38, it was talking about the doctrines of demons. And it said, some of those of understanding shall fall, to refine them, purify them, make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. And of course, that's the Antichrist he's talking about. But, you know, when people start pointing to the man in the church instead of God, you know, I came from a fairly good-sized church in Maine, and the pastor is a man's man. He is, and I, you know, I really enjoyed it, but it's you have to make sure you're not following the guy, you know, because I was a new believer, so I was, when I was going, there was, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200 people between two services, and I had questions afterwards, and I always wanted to go talk to him, and I never could, and I couldn't, you know, he was very busy. He was available, but, you know, the people he knew well and all that. So the Lord just told me, why don't you just come speak to me about it? Like, duh. So anyhow, later on in time, I ended up being in leadership in a church plant from that church, and I got to be involved with him anyhow. But so it's interesting. With the false teachers, the false prophets, and 2 Peter 2:1, and again in the King James Version, just because I like some of the wording, it says, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring a damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and brought upon themselves swift destructions. Now, damnable heresies is pretty strong language, you know, but that's how God sees it. You're perverting or twisting his word, or you're taking it out of context to make it mean something that wasn't meant to mean. A false teacher is steering somebody to hell rather than to Jesus. And you know, the church I grew up in, I thought I had safety in it because I was good. And boy, when I found out what the Bible said, I was really happy to accept Jesus. And because actually I didn't even know why Jesus was on the cross in the church I grew up in. I didn't know anything about that. It was a very, and you know, they aren't all like that, but it was startling to me to think that I could just be involved in that church and not know what I know, and I really have no salvation. So that really, at first made me very angry against that church, because my mom was always a part of it, but the Lord dealt with me on that. But if you're not familiar enough with Scripture to discern for yourself the truth, and you can lose your life for eternity because of that. So that's why we need to know the Word, and we need to understand what it says. Not that we can understand all of what it says, but there's no turning back from that point when we're standing before Jesus. And he said, I never knew you, depart from me. I mean, that horrifies me. And then the other side of that is being a false teacher and leading people away from Jesus. You know, I'm always, even before I ever taught or preached, I always was worried about being self-deceived. I always wanted to know that I knew what the Word said. So I way back, I bought commentaries and stuff of people that people suggested to me. And my first one was Matthew Henry. And I know he finished well, and he died in like 1703, so he's safe. And my daughter actually found this set, this commentary, books, volumes, thank you. And it was at a Goodwill for $25. She said, is that a good deal? I said, yeah, get that. And it was like 1930 edition, so you open it up and it smells old, and I like it. But, you know, I'm a book person rather than this digital stuff. I don't like Kindles. I don't like any of that. But anyhow, you know, I want to always be checking. I always had a lot of questions to make sure I understood what it was being said. So I just think it's, you know, it's really important. So back to verse 1, it said at the beginning of that, in latter times some shall depart. Not some might, but all. I mean, in latter times some shall depart. It doesn't say they might. They said they shall, they will. And we know that because unfortunately we probably all know people that have left the church and denounced Jesus or living in a way that looks like they have. You know, obviously we don't know where they are. And it's heartbreaking to see that. But it was also happening in their time. That's what Paul's talking about. But it's hard to believe how easily and how quickly that this can happen and that things can change. And I don't know if any of you have ever like moved away and then come back and seen how different the church is. But it's shocking sometimes. I mean, some people just get old and go with Jesus, and that's great. We love to hear about that. But, you know, what happened to this person? Especially in this time, you know, people haven't returned yet. They're not comfortable with it, whatever. But I wonder, you know, okay, where are you? Are you feeding yourself? Are you getting nourished by God's word? So, but anyhow, Paul was warning them. And Paul was in Ephesus, and he warned of the wolves in sheep clothing. And it has been the same throughout time. Satan is attacking anywhere and whoever he wants. He is here to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that. So the first great church, something that I learned in the study, was the Coptic Church of North Africa. It was the head of churches, and Augustine, Tertullian, and Athanasius came from that. And that church failed after a while. Now, those great men came from that. And I know Augustine and Tertullian, the other guy, I didn't really read up on him, but that fell away. That went off the rails. So we have to guard ourselves. We have to be careful of what's going on. The Methodist Church, John Wesley, I mean, is that what it was when he was preaching there? You know, they've gone through a lot of changes, you know, in the movement of to be more modern. You know, it's just that doesn't work. So Paul also said in latter times, which means after this time, but it does not necessarily mean at the end, because 2 Timothy 3:1, he says in the last days, and we know that's before Jesus returns. So, you know, we know that they were dealing with stuff. You know, things haven't changed. You know, we talk about behaviors in school a lot, sinful behavior, and you know, oh, it's never been anything like that. I say, are you kidding me? There's nothing new. It's all been done. I mean, look at Rome. I mean, there was things going on there. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. No, not 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until the time he is taken away." And I believe that's the Holy Spirit. After the rapture of the church, I think he's holding the Antichrist back. "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." There's another thing that, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, if you talk to people, think they have to get right to come to church. And which is completely false. Let's come to church and then God will get you right. But I've heard people say, he's a believer now, but he said, "I'll get it right after the rapture, in the tribulation." And like, you can't even get it right when you're surrounded by Christians. What are you going to do when they're all gone? Like, you're on your own. And you'll be beheaded if you don't do what they tell you to do. You know, so anyhow, so again, we're talking about giving heed to seducing spirits. I mean, that's a thing in our lives that we can just say, well, I'll do it later. You know, the procrastination of today, and, you know, well, I want to have fun first. And, you know, and I talk about this, I'm with young kids all the time. Well, I want to have a family and have kids and all that. Well, great, fine, plan for it. I hope you can, you know, and I hope it's not like in 30 years and you want me to see it, because I'm not into longevity. So, but, you know, yes, we should plan for things of tomorrow, but I think that's a dangerous thing to just put Christianity off or put a close relationship with God off because you want to do life, you know. And then we spend a lot of time talking about things that we do that aren't sinful. They're just not good for us. They don't make us better, you know. And I said, it's not against the law for me to drink. I can have a drink. Does it make me better? No. I've tried that. Because there's not a stopping point. I said, but I can do that, but why do I want to risk that? It doesn't make me better. And I said, and some of you kids know it doesn't make you people better because you've seen it. And they're like, yeah, I have. Like, okay. So, you know, and we deal with funny stuff here because our big thing is I'm trying to get the kids just to say words, not to say words that aren't swear words, like stop saying shut up, you know. And you see what public school deals with if they were in school. You know, murder, rape, drugs. And we're trying to get them to stop saying shut up, you know. Or, you know, the way they treat each other. And it's really nothing, but still, it's like, guys, but it is a narrow path. And that's with our walk and with our understanding God's word, it's a narrow path. We can't go entertaining all kinds. I get what ifs all the time. Well, what if, you know, and I just go, well, that's stupid. Like, let's not waste our time on that kind of stuff. So anyhow, so giving heed to seducing spirits, we have to be careful about what's seducing our minds. What will they be? And, you know, do men get so educated they drift away from God's word? You know, I've always had this term, educated beyond their intelligence. There's people that are educated beyond their intelligence. Look at some of the... Never mind. Does technology make us lazy? I think so. I do like it for school. I look up stuff. I think of stuff. I put on my phone. I put on the TV. I can cast a video about something to prove a point or to... And, you know, we look at a lot of videos about different people. We did election stuff. Kids were really interested in it. But I like to be able to look up stuff as quick as I can on my phone. Does it get in my way? Yeah. Yeah, I can watch YouTube for long amounts of time. Do you know there's a video about the 5 largest engines ever made? I just watched that. That's the kind of dumb, dorky stuff I like. But I can get drifted off into that and go, and then you go see that video, and then, oh yeah, and that one. And what? What'd they do? Oh, yeah, it was changing tires. Like these guys from India that just take a torch and light stuff and boom, tire blows off, hits. It's weird. I can go for a long time looking at that stupid stuff, wasting my time. I could put on a sermon. I do like to listen to people teach. And Kim and I find ourselves doing that. You know, okay, well, this is really useless. So, or do we just come so confident in our abilities we stop seeking God? You know, because we think we already know it. So we got, you know, I know what that means. And I don't know how many of you have done that. You're reading scripture that you've read over and over, and you kind of just go, oh, yeah, yep. And then, you know, then I catch myself and I go back and read it, and God will show me something. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that because I already knew what it said. But I didn't know what it all meant. So anyhow, verse 2. Wow, I better move it here. Speaking lies in a hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So we convince themselves that they're right, perfect, and on point, is the way I understood that. My own conscience is seared. I really just talked myself into it. You've been around people that lie so much, they actually think they're telling the truth? I actually have. It's really weird. And they will swear up and down that that's what they said or did. And I'm like, no, that's not. And then we have this thing, like I was just talking about with the preachers, they push the envelope to shock people or to get people's attention or to be lively or to feel more modern, to draw in the crowds, to have the big light show, to have the smoke. We need to get, you know, smoke, light. We did a smoke one morning. But there's a saying that I heard a long time ago, and probably you have all heard it. If it's true, it ain't new, and if it's new, it ain't true. If somebody says, this is a new revelation. No, you don't have. Benny Hinn does that. Not doing that. So we don't need to dazzle people to get them to church. We need the Holy Spirit to get them to church. You know, we talked about this. Do people have to go to church? Obviously, you don't have to go to church. But, you know, for us people, I have close people in this church that's family. That's possibly, sorry family, closer than my blood family. So then your friends become believers. And especially for the young people with youth. You know, pray for our youth. It's not the crowd that used to be there. Of course, a lot of them have graduated, move on. But, you know, our youth, like, they have those battles all the time. You know, and our biggest one is that we talk about the battle with the kids is music. And I'm so thankful. I had a student, and he did a sermon, and he said, so me and the guy I work with, we're talking about music, and said, wow, the music that we're listening to, the language, we really do repeat that, the bad language. And he looked at me, and I wish I recorded. He said, Mr. D, you're right. He said, music is so hard. I said, well, I always talk to the kids and say, music is very powerful. Look at the stupid jingles that we remember. And I did it to Dia the other day, and I said, and she met another, and you were gone, right? And she knew it. Hee-haw, right? Well, I had to play it for the kids to destroy their minds. But I said, that stupid little thing. That was from the 70s, I assume, you know. And it's like, how can I remember that, but I can't remember what I read this morning? So music is powerful. And I said, if it wasn't so powerful, why is it so hard to change? Oh, right. It is. It's powerful. So that will draw us away. And, you know, I've had students lately that have said, can you pray for me? Because I really want to conquer this music thing. I really want to change that in my life. And I said, well, first of all, you think you have to like worship music or praise music. I listen to heavy metal and rock and roll and Metallica. And there's nothing like this. I like this better. God changes our hearts to like what he has for us. So, and there's, you know, there's some crazy Christian music out there too that you can't understand what they're saying. But anyhow, they convince themselves are right and we're all perfect and all this, you know. So, you know, we have to be careful that we don't get deceived and be drawn away by all those things. So verse 3 said, forbidding to marriage and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving to those who believe and know the truth. So marriage is sacred, we know that. There was some movement going back there that was saying you shouldn't get married. Or, you know, marriage is misused, mislabeled, or They changed the meaning of marriage. You know, we have to stay away from that. That is from God. That was sanctified by Him. It's a gift that we have. That is, there's so many privileges and benefits from being married. And, you know, that two becoming one is actually a huge thing for me because, you know, as many of you know, I was married a few times before I got saved. And I've been married for, March will be 18 years. And, you know, God's done that. I didn't do that. I couldn't do that. I'd mess that up too. So, you know, that's a sacred thing. And when God's in the middle of it, it works great. You know, I mean, it's not, there is no perfect, but, if you look at God's word and how marriage is supposed to be, you'll be very successful. So, Paul spoke about this with the food, you know, abstaining from foods, but, no, I guess I skipped it. In Colossians 2:8, it said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So again, we get distracted by the things of the world. Now, food is another thing that's misused. And, oh, you can't use this, and you can't eat that. And I never really understood the seven-day Advent thing. But Jesus wasn't worried about what we ate and what we drank, right? It's not, Matthew 15:11 said, "Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles him." You know, our mouth can get us in way more trouble than eating. I like food, you know. But Jesus wasn't concerned about our clothes or what we ate. And, you know, we had a lady that broke down in a car in front of our church in Maine, and she was on her way to work, and I don't know what happened. And we picked her up and took her to work, and then we came back and we fixed her car. And so when she came back to get it, I talked to her about going to church, and she said, "Well, I would like to go, but I don't have clothes to wear." And like you could wear what you're wearing. "Oh, I don't have to get dressed up?" No, don't not go to church because you don't have good clothes. I mean, we should, you know, try to look our best and do whatever it is we have to do with these things. But he wasn't worried about that. Instead, so instead of worrying about those things, Paul continued and he said, "Which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." So we want to receive everything with thankfulness. I say I love food. I do, and I actually like trying different kinds of food. I don't know if you guys all daring. I'll try it like anything. And since I've been here, I've actually had rattlesnake. I had that quite a while ago. That's pretty good, actually. I've had oryx, I've had antelope, I've had, I don't know, whatever's brought to my house. But I'll try anything. I'm weird like that. I mean, I won't, you know, even things that look gross, I'll try it. Except for them, I don't know, the big fat grubs that they do on these shows, these survival shows, I probably would die. They say they're good. But think of the variety of food God has given us. I'm not trying to make you hungry. I already ate. But, like, the different variety of things. Like, God is such a great creator. And I was thinking about this, even the variety of insects. Some insects, we can't even really see them that well. But when you get up close and look, I mean, there's some weird bugs here. I'm always taking pictures of stuff and sending it to my grandson. He's like, "What is that?" I have no idea. But it's cool. God did that so I can say, well, God made that. And he just thought, well, I'm going to make this weird, interesting, strange looking. They had one of those big giant beetle, rhino beetles out here a couple of years ago. Matthew had it in his hand. It's like, whoa. But it's like God does that. To me, he does that so we can go, well, God, you're awesome. You know, we walk around, see things, and just give God the glory for his brilliance. I mean, the sunset's here. I'm from Maine. The trees grow like this. You see, oh, sunset. There it is. And you come here, it's half the sky. And when we first moved here, we lived in this house where Ariel's living out back. And someone said, "What a great place to first move to the Southwest." I'm like, "You're right. The sunsets, but also the thunderstorms and the lightning across there." We're like, "God, you are amazing that you do this stuff, and I love to do that." I was thinking about the plants and look at the variety of plants. And then they were talking about rhubarb the other day because that grows easy in Maine, rains. But the leaf's poisonous. but you can eat the stalk. Well, who found that out? I assume you watch the animals, but there's meat-eating plants, the picture plants. They have those in Maine, the bogs. There's peat bogs you walk around, and it's just this big squishy sponge. It's weird. There's water plants. There's plants that grows in trees that have no soil. Like, why God puts this plant way up on the top of these rainforests in a tree so somebody can go up there and go, what's that? That's awesome. Like, why would he do that? So we can give him glory. Fish, animals, birds. I mean, you know, and it drives me crazy because somebody posted something and I thought, man, that's beautiful. And someone come on there, it's computer animated. I'm like, whatever. I want to praise God. I don't care if it was made up. I think it's cool, you know? It's like, tough, negative Nancy's. It wasn't my sister Nancy, though. It was a different Nancy. No. And it's like some people just want this negativity. They want to squash your, of like, God's awesome. You know, when we see people healed around here and people getting better, and you know, I mean, my back was killing me one day. I went into the men's thing up here and they prayed for me. And right after that, 80% of it was gone. I mean, I'm like, okay, Lord, that's good. You know, we've had a lady that works in a school over here that had great answer to prayer of, thought she was very sick. So let's give God the glory anyhow, even if he didn't do it. I know he did, but what are you out if you give him glory for something and it was a doctored photo that somebody did? Who cares? I always like to look around and see what God's done. And that's one thing we've enjoyed about living here. You know, Maine's beautiful in the summer. If you like white, it's okay in the winter, but snow does get dirty really quick, and then it's nasty. But we came here, and I was amazed. This is the first place that I ever saw a whole train. Because in the railroad crossings in Maine, you see this going, yeah, okay, that's really long, I guess. I just sit here. And then here, it's like we were driving from Deming or something, like, wow, it's a whole I can see a whole train. Like, that sounds weird, but that's the first time. I was 50-something years old before I saw a whole train. It's the little things, you know, and it's like the sunset. Joseph took a picture of somewhere that he was, I don't remember where it was, just a beautiful picture. I mean, the Southwest, we have so much we want to explore here. But anyhow, verse 6 says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the word of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. A minister, a pastor, must teach about false teaching. We have to. We don't need to major in it, but we have to warn people. We must cover the whole counsel of God. That's what I do like about teaching verse by verse, is you don't skip over anything. Some things are hard to teach on, like tithing. It's like nobody wants to teach on it. We don't, in leadership, we could care less. We don't, that's not our business. God has money. You know, to me, I always want to support other ministries and different things, people we support in Africa and friends over there that have a school of ministry, Calvary Chapel and Eldoret. And because I want to be part of the blessing. I want to give and I'm going to ride their coattails and get some rewards. I don't know. Like, why not? Our money only goes so far here, but for the kingdom, it can go a long ways. 2 Timothy, just a couple verses, says, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, but you must continue in things that you have learned, being assured of knowledge, knowing whom you have learned them from, and that from the childhood you know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We need to learn, we need to understand the Word, we need to go through it verse by verse. If you don't have a study plan, start one. I've heard it takes 25 days to start a habit. To be in the Word all the time. And that's the thing about being in church, you know. We come here to have that fellowship and all that, but we still, that shouldn't be what our salvation rides on, is just what we learn on Sundays. Because as you guys that are married knows, if you just worked on your relationship with your wife on Sundays, it wouldn't be much. Yeah, I'll see you next Sunday, honey. Like, lots of how it is for me. But, I mean, her schedule's great. Pray for that. I'd love to have my wife be here more. They really spin her around with that schedule, and I know that there's not many that go to church on Sundays. So, anyhow, we need to be in the Word. My job's a little different because I teach in school, we start with a subject, but the kids always have questions, so we always are flexible and go somewhere, wherever the Lord takes us. And there's nothing wrong with that. We still continue. We're going through the Minor Prophets, which one of my students thought that would be fun. We started with Hosea. And I said, do you know what Hosea's about? She goes, no. Oh, wait. Is that the one with the guy married the prostitute? I says, well, yeah. Then she left him. Then he bought her back and married her again. Oh, I said, well, we're going through it now. And it's been interesting because, of course, as we know, it's about Israel and us and how unfaithful we are. But so I asked him, how long do you want to go through the Minor Prophets? I says, because I was thinking about 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Yeah, well, we'll do one more. And I'm like, well, we'll see. But we go through it all. And, you know, some of the kids really struggle with some of it. And I have to kind of back up. It takes us forever sometimes because we have kids here that have grown up in the school and the church and some that have just started coming. So you've got to find that place where you can keep them all understanding what's going on. So our subjects change a lot, but we do have a plan that we go through because we're trying to get them through the New Testament and a lot of the Old Testament. But whatever comes up, we talk about it. So here again, we're talking about false teaching. You know, and it's like we have these signs that we see. You know, we drive everywhere. Well, some of us do, and there's a lot of signs. And matter of fact, when I drove across Maine the last time, took our camper, I realized there's way too many signs. When you drive at night, there's reflectors on the guardrails. There's reflectors, like it's just over. It's really bright, but some of the signs are really helpful. You know, Tucson, so many miles. Sharp turn ahead. Those are pretty interesting. And in Maine, there's like 6,000 lakes, so there's a lot of rivers. So like the bridge out, you want to pay attention to that one because they just do take a bridge out and then replace it, and they barricade the road. Don't go through the barricades. We have warning signs, you know. But this, you know, I don't know if you guys have been to the East Coast. Like there's so many roads. So if this bridge is out, you just go down a little bit farther, go across a different one. I mean, it's, you know, I don't even know how many bridges I would cross going home from work. It's crazy. So we always want to pay attention to the signs, and we have signs here as well. You know, and if I hear somebody that's speaking and I don't know, something's a little off, I'll text Joseph or something, ask him, you ever heard of this guy? And he's like, yeah, stay away from him. Okay, thank you. And, you know, we need to do that. We need to be looking out for each other. And I do that with the kids. You know, I was watching this video. I'm like, no, you probably shouldn't watch that guy. Well, he's not bad. No, he's not. But he's off a little bit. And it's salvation stuff. So let's not get our salvation wrong of what we're supposed to do. So anyhow, what Paul is saying is nourished in the faith. We must feed on God's word daily. Our personal study time is very important. And I don't know, you know, people that have kids at home, how they do that, because I mean, I know kids wake up 100 miles an hour and then they go till bed, you know, and I don't have to deal with that now. I'm old. Older than Joe. I'm old. That's old. But we have to form these habits. And it also says in verse 6, and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. This is something that we have to be careful about, good doctrine. I read a lot of other books, but I don't throw the Bible away. And actually, I read doctrinal books. I read books from old dead guys that were believers. So, I mean, I don't do fiction or any of that. So, but your main source has to be God's Word. And actually, the one I like, Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall, which he died in the 1700s, he was around, John? Paul Bunyan is an Acts guy. He has a ton of scripture in his book. Everything he's talking about, he has a reference for it. And I love that. It's a great study book. So 7 through 12, let's look at that. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and faith, spirit and faith and purity. So saying, don't waste your time with stories and fables. Okay, there's no sense in doing that. Let's work on something that's good and it builds us up. So verse 8, bodily exercise is good for us. But how much more is spiritual exercise to strengthen our spirit, right? We have the battle that we have is not flesh and blood, as we know. It's against principalities and powers. So we need to be able and ready to take those attacks. We need to understand, and I know I don't do this, is I don't understand the attack until I'm a ways in. I'm like, oh, this is spiritual. I'm so. But we need to be ready for that. It says, having a promise of life that now is. We have the promise of the life now. Our lives are better because of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is already secured. But now we have to get through this. And lately, as you guys have noticed, it's getting to be a chore. You know, so we have to have that. We have to be able to get back and get recharged. We have to exercise our spirit. We have to talk to people, iron sharpening iron, discuss things, whatever we have to, politics or health or whatever, with other people, and see what God is saying about that. 9 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. He's just saying, this is true and it's right, and we need to be strengthened every day. He's just encouraging Timothy. You know, my pastor in Maine used to say that if you're a Christian and you're living a life and you're having no problems, you're doing something wrong because you're not stirring up your enemy. That they should be under attack once in a while, you know. And the other saying is you're either going into a trial or you're in one or you're coming out of one. So if you're just coming out of one or if your kind of things are good, then there's one coming. And they look different for every one of us, those spiritual attacks. So in Acts 19, verses 13 to 16, and some of the itinerant Jews exorcists took upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, which is really funny. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Does Satan know who we are? Are we interrupting his plans? I would like to think so. Most people that are here on Thursday nights are here all the time. And I hope we're interrupting his plans. I know we are here at the school because there's a lot of spiritual attacks, as you can talk to anybody that's been and worked here. We have issues all the time that we have to deal with. It's not always the students. Sometimes it's the parents. Sometimes it's each other. So there's a spiritual attack. Satan wants his place shut down, but God's building us a gym. So you know what? God wins. Actually, they're doing the plumbing out there underneath the slab. That's what we have. We know that God is in this with us. We're not alone. So, why do we suffer reproach? Because we trust in the living God? We shouldn't care about consequences for serving our Savior. We know that there's a place in heaven for God's presence, and that place is eternal. You know, there's a cost to serving Him. And, you know, Kim and I talk about it. You know, when we first moved here, I think we only had 5 grandchildren. We have 13 now, and man, that's hard coming up in the holidays to not see our kids and our grandkids, but I know what God's doing in our lives. He's using us, and that is a cost, you know, and I've tried to talk them into moving here, but the talks have broke down, although winter's coming for them. So we just say to our kids, you don't need to come. You can just send the grandkids. Like, we'll pick them up at the airport. Just take a few months off. It'll be fine. But there's a cost. There's a cost to us standing up for Jesus in certain places. There's people who are going to mock us, going to make fun of us. Oh, the Jesus freak. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I've lost my place because I'm not an axe anymore. All right. I'm going to get this done. I hate to rush. But for this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially for those who believe. He is the Savior of all. He did come, you know, I don't want to get into it, but the elect. Well, he died for all of us, but especially for those who believe, right? Because the people that haven't accepted him yet haven't received that gift that he has for them. We have. So especially for us, who is the Savior of all men. He is the Savior of everyone. But you just got to come get it. These things command and teach. Obviously, that's pretty simple to say. But sometimes it's not easy to put ourselves in that place. Let no one despise your youth. Obviously, this verse, a lot of us know. Paul's talking to Timothy. I'm sure he was young. We pretty well know that. But it doesn't matter. Be an example. He said, be an example in truth and love. Be example to believers in word, conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And in purity, not impurity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, the exhortation, the doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So do not neglect the gift that's in us. And we don't all see what our gift is, and this is something we talk about with younger kids too. But even with us older people, we don't understand what our gifts are until someone says, oh, that is a gift of yours. You know, let's not shy away from that. I think of Naomi. You know, she comes up here and she leads worship sometimes when Tamara's out of town, and that's a huge gift for her. Other places, you know, not so much. I mean, we haven't all arrived, and she hasn't, but she most certainly has a gift, and she's doesn't seem afraid to use it. You know, I know that she wants to worship the Lord. But we all have gifts, whether it's, you know, cleaning or administration or those things that God just gives us that we're good at. But meditate on these things, and that's one of those things with not Eastern meditation, not clearing your mind. I had a discussion with this as well, because someone said, well, this football team in town, they teach them to clear their mind. I said, to me, if you clear your mind, you're opening it up for something else to come in that you may not want. So meditate on God's word. We don't want to clear our mind of everything. I think that's impossible. I don't know. Can any of you guys make your mind stop? Anybody out there? No? No. I can't. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. There was a word I was thinking of there. To give yourself entirely to them, to devote completely to these things. Again, that kind of goes with the Paul of pray without ceasing. Obviously, we can't. There are certain things we have to do that we have to be concentrating on. We can't be praying. But we can be constantly going to prayer when things go wrong. So, anyhow, meditate on these things, give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. There should be evidence in our lives, fruit of the Spirit, right? People should be able to look at you and say, oh, and I know you guys have done that. I had a friend of mine I've known for, gosh, she's in her 40s now, and they took care of my son when he was 10, my youngest son, and so he's 38 now, anyhow. And she came over to my house one day. She was a salesman at the lumberyard I worked at. And me and Kim were talking to her, and she had this goofy grin going on. We looked at her and said, you got saved, didn't you? She goes, yeah, I did. Like, and we could tell. Like, it was just coming out of her, you know? And that's often, be evident. Shouldn't it be evident who we are? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. So be careful of the doctrine. Continue in them. For doing those, you know, that whole thing of take heed and correcting those and all that's going on, we have to correct each other. And if we see somebody that's listening or watching and doing something that they shouldn't do, Proverbs 26:27-6 says, faithful are the wounds of the friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. And we know that. Sometimes we're going to hurt feelings. That's what happens when you confront people. But when you're doing it in a loving way, then that makes all the difference. There's a couple quotes here that I Warren Wiersbe, the great American preacher. Warren Wiersbe said, the great American preacher Charles Finney said, "Preacher, save thyself." That sermon is needed today, for we are seeing people having to leave the ministry because their lives have not kept up with their profession. Moral problems, divorces, and other shameful conduct have destroyed many of God's servants. And 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, take him who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. We have to make sure that we're not prideful. J. Vernon McGee said, God have mercy on the minister that is not giving out to the word of God. That is frightful. That is a frightful sin. It would be better to be a gangster than to be a man who is supposed to get out of the word of, who is supposed to give out the word of God and fails to do so. If you have to take care of your own spiritual life. And again, I think we're all ministers. There's all people that the combined people of all this church can minister to way more people than Joe has contact with, because we live in their lives. And I believe relational witnessing is very powerful. Our duty is to build each other up and to reach the lost. That is what is before us today. Look around and see who needs a hand. So that's what we need to do. We need to be looking around and see who's struggling or who's having a, who's praising God. Praise God with them, right? We watched a video on something about Christmas Child, and this girl was explaining what had happened to her, and she was abused, and one of the kids looked at me and says, how do you do that? What do you do? I said, well, wait until somebody tells you that in person. And he says, what do? I says, you cry with them. You know, I mean, you get, what do you, no, you need to feel better. No, let's just be friends to those people around us. So that's what the Lord had for me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing in this school, in this church. Lord, I do lift up all the students here, and I pray that you would heal those that are out. Lord, I pray you would keep the staff healthy so that it's just hard for us to get subs sometimes. Lord, I just lift up our church body to you. I pray that you work in their lives. And Lord, as time goes by, Lord, that you would return those that haven't come back yet, Lord. We just pray for those people that that they haven't drifted off. And I just thank you, Lord. I lift Joe up to you again. I pray you'll just heal him quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.